Happy Sabbath, everybody. I got here this morning and I was like, Junior, did we turn on the heater or the air conditioner? I says, I don't know, it feels just about right. So that's what I call a beautiful Sabbath when you don't need either one.
Hope everybody's comfortable and ready to spend some time in God's Word. Raise this a little higher. I had a pretty rough week myself, and it's good to be here. My daughter Olivia, she's been battling something, and we've been taking her to doctors and stuff, and they don't seem to be figuring out exactly what it is, and she seems like she gets better a little bit, and then next thing you know, she's throwing up again and having problems again and not feeling good. So we took her to Valley Children's on Sunday night. I was there till about 3 in the morning, and so I didn't get much sleep that night. Spent the rest of the week trying to catch up, and then me and Gracie, we also kind of came down with a cold too, so I was battling that during the week. So appreciate your prayers for the health of my family, especially Olivia, who seems to be having trouble getting over whatever it is that's attacking her. But interestingly enough, the message today has to do with somebody who wants to know if he's going to get better. But he goes to the wrong source to find out. It's if you'd like to turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 1, we're going to be looking at the story of a man named King Ahaziah. I'd like to try to keep this message along the theme of what the church's vision, because we got presented to us in Lodi on our last trip there, and part of that vision is, and the main first point of that vision is that we are a Christ-centered, Jesus-believing group of people, right? But this story, however, is kind of a sort of a what not to do rather than a what to do in the story. Ahaziah, he was the son of King Ahab. Everybody's familiar with King Ahab, right? And when King Ahab died, his son Ahaziah became the next king over Israel. And looking at the beginning there of the chapter in 1 Kings, or 2 Kings, I mean, the first chapter, it says after Ahab died, there was a rebellion against Israel from Moab, because they had some dominance over the area of Moab under the reign of Ahab. But then it gets into the next part of the story. This is where something happens to Ahaziah. And it says, and Ahaziah fell down through a lattice in his upper chamber that was in Samaria, and he was sick. So I don't know, maybe he cut himself, got an infection. I'm not sure what went on there. But he had taken a fall and was not doing well. And so he decides, he says he's going to send messengers, and he said unto them, go inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover of this disease. So Beelzebub is this god in Ekron. Looking up that word, looks like it means something to the effect of his Baal being Lord and the Zebub of the flies. There was an idea that Beelzebub somehow had control over sickness. You know, you usually associate flies, you know, spreading disease, that kind of thing. Ekron was one of the Philistine cities. It was a Philistine god. But as these messengers are heading over to go inquire of Beelzebub, a miracle happens. It says, "But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, Arise, go up and meet these messengers of the king of Samaria, and say unto them." And here's the key question. Is it not because there is not a God in Israel that you go to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? See, Ahaziah, he's the king of Israel. Israel is supposed to be the people of God. He's not supposed to be inquiring of a false god, this Beelzebub. His focus is off of where it should be intended. Looking back in the history of Israel, first king of Israel was Saul, and then David became king, and then his son Solomon. And during the reign of Solomon was the glorious time, and the kingdom was united, all the 12 tribes of Israel. After Solomon died, his son Rehoboam was to be the next king over Israel. But he got together with his advisors, and they said, what should we do? Should we lighten the load on the people, or should we oppress them with more taxes? Well, he listened to the young men instead of the old men, who said to lighten the load. And they raised the taxes on the people and began to oppress them more. And so a man named Jeroboam became the first king of Israel. And Jeroboam liked his power and liked being king. And he began to become fearful and decided, well, what am I going to do to keep these people from reuniting back with Rehoboam, which was now king over just the Judah portion of Israel? So he decided, what I'm going to do is I'm going to make another god for them to worship here in Samaria. So in order to try to hang on to power, his motivation, he decides to try to get the people to worship a false god. This paganism continued down the line among the kings of Israel. And Ahaziah was no different. The Bible says that he did wickedly in the sight of the Lord. But Elijah receives a message from God as he's going to seek from Beelzebub. Seek an answer from Beelzebub as to what's going to happen from him. So I don't know if you picked this up, but I think this is a miracle, because how does he even know that what these messengers are going to do? How does Elijah even know? It's a miracle that God is able to perceive this and interrupt this passage. And his response is to these messengers is, go tell them. He says, what's the problem here? Isn't there a God in Israel that we can go to for these questions? I'd like to call Elijah up. Can you come up here, Elijah? Are you a Tishbite Elijah, or is that a different Elijah? It's a different Elijah, right? This is Elijah. Do you know what his name means? He's a walking testimony, because the first part of his name is El, which means God. The last part of his name is Jah, or Yah, J-A-H. Which just means Lord or God. So his name basically means God is my God, or God is God, or God is Lord. Right? Do you know, as you walk around, your name is a witness to who the Lord really is? If you didn't know that, now you know. You can go back. See, here's the question. Who is God? You know, Ahaziah is sending off to this Beelzebub. But Elijah says, why are you doing this? Isn't there a God in Israel that we can go to? This is not a new question. Even Ahaziah's father was presented with this question. If you go back into the chapter, last chapter of 1 Kings, the king of Israel, Ahab, and the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, were trying to decide whether or not to go fight the Syrians. And so, prior to doing this, Ahab gets all his advisors together, his prophets, and to find out, what should I do? Should we go to battle? And Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, was not a too bad king. He was one that tried to serve the Lord. And he asked Ahab, he says, don't we have a prophet of God to inquire about this? So Ahab, well, there's this guy, Micaiah, I'm not even sure how to say his name. It's like M-I-C-I-A-I-A-H, Micaiah. And he says, well, he doesn't really like the answer that this guy gives him, because this guy tells him the truth. And sometimes when you're a wicked guy, the truth isn't what you want to hear. I wonder if Ahaziah, I'm thinking that he's going to be familiar with this story. He already knows that there's a difference between these Philistine gods and the God of Israel. He knows that there's the one true God to seek out and to obtain your answers from. But Elijah, he asks him this question. He sends the messengers back. So the messengers, they never even make it to Beelzebub, or the prophets of Beelzebub. They get turned around. Picking up in verse 5 there, it says, and when the messengers turned back unto him, he said, why are you now turned back? And they said, there came a man up to meet us and said unto us, go turn again unto the king that sent you, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, is it not because there is not a God in Israel, and thou sendest to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but thou shalt surely die. And so then Ahaziah says to his messengers, he says to them, what manner of man was he which came to meet you? And he said unto him, and they told him these words. And they said to him, he was a hairy man, girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, ah, it's Elijah the Tishbite. So he's already familiar with this guy. He already knew that Elijah was out there, that he could have inquired of the Lord. He knew that he was a prophet of God, and that he could have obtained counsel from. So he decides, well, I'm going to send a troop of 50, and his captain, and bring him back to me. So they find Elijah on a mountain, and they tell him that the king has sent for you, O man of God. And he says, well, if I'm a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and burn you up. So the fire comes down from heaven, and fries 50 of these guys. So this is not the first time that Elijah's had fire come down from heaven, right? Already in the days of Ahab, there was a question of who is God? It was the same question. Is it you get the, they said they got the prophets of Baal together. And they got Elijah there, and they put their they prepared their sacrifices, and they said, call upon your God and have the fire come down from heaven, and we'll see who really God is. Elijah's doing the same thing here. He's saying, if I'm a man of God, the fire comes down and burns you up. So they got scorched. Well, that seems pretty harsh. But in reality, what's the destiny when you're not following God? It's a harsh outcome. It's death. So King Ahaziah, he sends another 50 and their captain. Same thing happens. Boom, they get scorched. Then Ahaziah sends a third 50. This time, the captain's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Hey, old man of God, have a little mercy on us. We don't want to get burned up. Right? So apparently he heard what happened. You know, it's not a secret going on what happened to these guys. Ahaziah, he apparently doesn't care. He'll just keep sending 50s, whatever. I'm never going to repent. I'm just going to keep sending 50. These guys are expendable. I don't care. So the angel of the Lord said to him, said to Elijah, don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. You can go ahead and go back. Well, I can understand why Elijah might have had some concern there, because Ahab had already wanted to kill him, and with Jezebel wanted to kill him. Micaiah, the prophet that already told Ahab, was given the message to warn him not to go into the battle with the Syrians. Ahab told him, I'm not going to listen to you, and I'm going to put you in jail, and you can eat the bread and water of affliction till I get back. And they never made it back, so I don't know what happened to them. But Elijah gets to he gets some assurance from the Lord that he's going to be all right. Now skipping down to verse 15, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, go down with him and be not afraid. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. And he said unto him, the Lord said, for as much as thou hast sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it not because there is not a god, that there is no god in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore thou shalt not come down from the bed on which thou art gone up, but shalt surely die. And so Ahaziah, so he died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah had spoken. This is a fundamental thing that we face. Is who do we go to when we're sick? Who do we go to for answers? Who do we trust in? This is just one of many examples in the Bible. In this case, it's an example of who not to go to. We don't want to go to Beelzebub, the god of flies. We want to go to the God of Israel, our Creator. This Beelzebub, he turns up again in the book of Matthew. Chapter 12. Look at verse 21, and it says, starting in Matthew chapter 12, verse 21, And it says, in His name shall the Gentiles trust. Referring to Jesus, the one that we go to. Then was brought unto Him one that was possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and Jesus, and He, being Jesus, healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and said, Is this not the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, This fellow does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. So in the time of Ahaziah thought that he could get his answer from Beelzebub. Flash forward down to the time of Jesus. The Pharisees seem to be not in favor of Beelzebub. They think this is a bad thing. But in a way, they're thinking that Beelzebub is the one that has power over the devils. And they're accusing Jesus of casting out the devils by the power of Beelzebub. They're not understanding the power of God. Just like Ahaziah, who didn't understand where the source of healing and where the source of understanding comes from, the Pharisees, although they appear to be against Beelzebub and are understanding them to be a devil, are in a way thinking that Jesus has his power from this false god. And not understanding that the power that Jesus has, the power that He has to heal, comes from the God of Elijah, the God of Israel. In verse 25 it says, And Jesus knew their thoughts, and said unto them, Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then shall his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Looking to seek the kingdom of God, we need to know who the one true God is. As being a body of believers, it might seem obvious to state, you know, that we're a Christ-centered church. Why do we need to emphasize that? It appears to me that over time in history, people can be easily distracted from that. Ahaziah, for various reasons, and I think going back to Jeroboam, you know, it had to do with his power, and didn't want to give up his power as king. Was afraid that the people might reunite with the king of Israel under the line of Judah. And then even going forward to the Pharisees, not wanting to understand the power of God, where the power of healing comes from. They were able to witness a miracle. Ahaziah witnessed a miracle because Elijah intercepted the messengers, but doesn't recognize the miracle. The Pharisees witnessed the healing, but they don't recognize the miracle. They don't recognize the power of God when it's plainly in front of their face. They want to think it's of some demonic nature that somebody can be healed of their infirmities or freed from their demons. Jesus points out that's a divided kingdom. That doesn't make sense for the demons to do that. What makes more sense? That God, our Creator, is the one that has the power to heal us, has the power to save us, is the one that we should focus on? Or other ways? Other paths? Other directions? Jesus says, though, if I cast out demons or devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is near you. Coming near to Jesus, being close to that Spirit, that Holy Spirit, the one that can heal, the one that can save, the one that can restore. Don't be dissuaded that there's other paths. That's the message of the world. That's what it means for us to be a Christ-centered church, is that we understand the power of God. It's not just Jesus, a name that doesn't mean anything. It's Jesus that has the power to heal, the power to forgive, the power to restore. I need you to turn with me to Acts chapter 4. Starting in verse 10. Peter had healed a man through the power of Christ, through the Holy Spirit. The Pharisees were questioning this. And he says in verse 10, he says, they want to know by what authority, by what power this had happened. And Jesus said, and Peter says to him, "Be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who you crucified, who God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole." This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there any salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we may be saved. We have the scripture that shows us the options. We see what happened with Ahaziah. He goes to Beelzebub. Had he gone to God? Had he gone to the God of Elijah? It may have been a different outcome. But Elijah said, "Since you go to Beelzebub, you die. But if you come to God, you can live. If you come to the God of Elijah, that's the God of life. That's the God of the resurrection. That's the God that has the power to heal. Not some Lord of stink flies." I'd like to conclude with what was the scripture reading. These are the words of David after he was established and overcame all his enemies. And this is the answer to the question. "For who is God save our Lord? And who is a rock save our God?" As a people and a group of body of believers, in order to not be divided, as Jesus points out that a kingdom divided itself against it can't stand, we all need to be of agreement that Christ is our Lord, and it is Christ that has the power to save. It is Christ that has the power to heal. It is Christ that has the power to forgive us of our sins. That's the message that we need to be able to deliver as a people of God. We see evidence in the Bible that people can be easily distracted of that. Therefore, it's important to be reminded of it, to be reaffirmed of it. I would like to ask that God bless you and keep you, and let His light shine upon you and be gracious unto you.